fearless. And I want to encourage you not to be afraid of the end. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and he said to me, don't be afraid of the end. And I just didn't know really what he was talking about. It was just a morning prayer. I was waiting to come to church. And don't be afraid of basically hitting the bottom. When you see the bottom, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of closed doors. Don't be afraid of bad news, of storm that you might be facing or that's risen up in your life. And, you know, the storms or bad circumstances, they can come in many, many forms and can devastate you and create a lot of pain and fear, whether it's sickness or death, bad report, medical report, financial difficulties, maybe wayward children. That can cause a lot of pain. You know, maybe addictions that you might be going through, or an untimely death of someone that you love, someone that's been close to you. And as I said last week, your place of fear is your place of failure. The moment the fear starts, that place, whenever it begins, that's where faith ends. It's like you can't have light and darkness in the room at the same time. If the room is dark, and you strike a little match, that little match is enough to overcome the darkness. Even though the darkness is intense and it covers the entire room, a little match. And that's what our faith is like. We strike our faith, and no matter how the darkness is, there is light in that situation. I was contemplating the scripture with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I really, really feel that I need to encourage you to believe that. To get a hold of the fact that nothing's impossible with God. Because you've got to begin to look at God's ability rather than your inability. Because you'll always be aware of your inabilities. You'll always be aware of your shortcomings. Yeah. And the only way that you can get beyond that is you look at God's abilities. Yeah. And you know that in Him, all things are possible. Right. Amen? All things are possible in Him. If you can but believe, all things are possible. And it's true. It's absolutely true. All things are possible if you can believe. That was told to us by the truth. And if the truth lied one time, you'd no longer be the truth. So the truth said, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of good stuff that was said about righteous people. But all of those folk didn't understand true righteousness the way we understand righteousness. It was almost always out of their grasp. And the one thing I really like is found in Psalm 102, verse 6. It goes like this. Talk about the righteous man. Surely, he will never be shaken. I mean, that's a sermon done right there. You don't need a lot of words. Surely, the righteous man will never be shaken. He will always be remembered forever. Now, watch verse 7. Watch verse 7. He will have no fear of bad news. Amen. Say, I'm righteous. In Jesus. I will not fear bad news. See, he didn't say bad news won't come. He said he won't fear it. Amen. Or she won't fear bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That's the reason you don't fear. Now, you have a choice. Everybody has a choice what you're going to believe and what you're going to try and use to stem the fear that comes to you when you hear bad news. A lot of Christians do this, and they take the doctor's prognosis as the beginning and the end of everything medical. But really, there is a higher truth. There is something beyond what the doctors can do. Because that's where God kicks in. When we get to the end of us and the end of our ability, he's just starting. When we get to the end of our power, he's just starting. You understand? And so we have to get to that place where we say, you know what? All things are possible. And I believe. And I thank God for doctors. But you know what? Irrespective of the news the doctors give me, my security is not going to be in the doctors. I'm going to choose to believe God's word in spite of. You say, Pastor Henry, I saw you walking up and down the frontier with Jackie. What was going on? Well, we believe she's healed. We were just trying to get her to dance. Amen. Amen. We're not trying to get her healed. We believe she's healed. She just hasn't got the moves right yet. She's still struggling with the rhythm. We refuse to give in to the circumstances and the storms and what it looks like in the natural, because we've got our faith pinned in the supernatural. Our God has given us a word, and he said, by my stripes, you're healed. Now, who am I going to believe? Who am I going to believe? Who am I going to put my faith in? Am I going to allow the storms of this world to batter me about to the place that I don't know if I'm Arthur or Martha? Well, that's happening a lot now. It's not the storms that are doing it. But I want to prophesy to you today. And I want to encourage you. God specializes in the impossible situation. That's where he feels most comfortable. He doesn't like things that are easy. He really likes stuff where he wants, okay, let me create another world. Okay, all right. Now, let me do something really challenging. Let me create a man. No, that's not enough. I really want to be challenged. All right, I'm going to create a woman. Then he stopped. And he said, man, all right, I've done it. That's the best thing I've ever made. Come on now, ladies. Come on. Give me some love. Come on. I'm on your side today. He loves to do things for his children that stagger our imagination. He likes to do things that blow the lid off. And we go, what? What was that? And he said, You want to see another one? He likes to leave us breathless. He likes to leave us gasping for air because of his magnificence, because of his majesty. You know what I found when I really, really, really get into a tough situation? Yeah. Get into them quite a lot, actually. Anybody else? And you know the funny thing about it is I get into that situation and I believe in God to get out of this really tough situation, and I'm looking for the window and I keep on looking, walking to walls, you know, I'm looking for the way out, and like the room's dark and I keep on hitting the wall. It got to be here somewhere. He said it's here somewhere. There's a window somewhere. I keep walking to, and it seems to me that God doesn't move until a situation becomes impossible. It's like, hello, you could have done it then. And this whole time I could have been playing golf. Now, I'm now facing this situation that's impossible. What is it with you? Nothing. Want to get you to the end of yourself? What, are you testing me, God? Feels like it, doesn't it? Yes. No, he's not. He's just waiting for you to run out of strength. He's waiting for you to stop trying in your own strength and to turn to him in rest. Because, you see, he wants to demonstrate his love to you. He wants to demonstrate his mercy and his grace. He wants to. But while you're still thinking that you can do it, well, he's going to have to step back and say, well, if it happens now, You're going to say you did it by the power of your hand. And you're going to have to get to the place where you say, all right, I can't do anything else now. This is it. Great. All right. Now I can move. Now I can use the faith that you've been believing for all this time, and I can put it to work. So remember, I said this to you last week. We can only become fearless on the revelation of how much God loves us. Until you understand how much He loves you, you can never, ever be fearless. You will always be concerned because you won't know what the will of God is. There will be some kind of doubt. What is the will of God in this situation? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And if He said that, then it's possible. So if your heart is troubled right now about the circumstances, whatever situation you're facing, if your heart is troubled, if your heart is overcoming you, okay, you need to correct that because Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. So it's possible for you to say, you know what, I'm making a decision today. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to look above the circumstances. I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm going to look to God and look to His Word. And I'm not going to allow what's going on down here around me to affect my praise. I'm not going to allow it to affect my smile. I'm not going to allow it to affect my demeanor. I'm not going to allow it to bring me into depression. I'm not going to succumb to these circumstances. I'm going to look beyond, and I'm going to see myself delivered. And because I see myself delivered, because I see this thing complete, because I see it taken care of, why should I be worried about it today if God is taking care of it? That's what it means to put your faith in Him. It means to trust Him in spite of what you can see. Remember the scripture from last week. God Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you. I will not let you go. Amen. Well, I mean, Daniel had to know that when he got thrown in the lion's den. Even the king was concerned for Daniel. Because the king knew nobody else has come out of there. Got a 100% success rate. 100%. These lions have never let him down. Everybody he put in there, they enjoyed. Right? And so they know. He knows. Daniel, your dinner tonight. He chucks him in. Next morning, king is there early. Daniel chapter 6, verse 23, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out from the den, there was no wound found on him because, help me, why was there no wound found on him? Because he trusted in his God. Guys, I don't know what you're facing, but I'm sure none of you have been in the lion's den. I'm seriously in a situation like that where you're going to be ripped apart for sure. For sure. In the natural, you're done. And in that situation, he trusts God. He doesn't get hurt. He comes out of it. God sends his angel, shuts the mouth of the lions. I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel actually snuggled up to one of them for the night and lay down, and when the thing started to purr, he said, man, that's not purring, that's snoring. What the heck are you doing? Come on, trying to get some sleep here. What's a man got to do to get some sleep? Huh? Probably grabbed the mane and said, hey, come on, come on. What are you doing? It's the old beard man. Come on, stop that. And when the old big boy rolled over and put his arm around him, I smell meat. Oh, no, you don't. You back off. It's forbidden. Forbidden. No. You leave me alone, man. All right? I mean, he was chilled. He was cool. He was that. Why? Because he was trusting God. That's the only way to do it. When the lion has got you wrapped up, snuggle up. Okay? Take authority over the beast. Praise God, man. You know, I think about Peter. Peter was always getting in trouble. But, you know, he was getting in trouble sometimes for the right reason. You remember in the book of Acts in chapter 12, he had been thrown into prison. He was waiting to be on trial the next day, probably even executed. And the night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, this is Acts 12, verse 6, Peter was sleeping. He was in prison between two soldiers, and he was sleeping. He was bound with two chains. The sentry stood guard of the entrance. Suddenly an angel stood, angel of the Lord appeared there, and light shone in the cell. This is amazing. This is pitch dark. An angel shows up without any ever-ready batteries, and boom, there's light. You know what I'm telling you? Do you know that there was light in the beginning of creation before God made the sun? Go back and read Genesis. You'll find there was light and there was no sun. In the middle of your darkness, when you can't see, God does not need a sun. He doesn't need a match. He doesn't need a flashlight to create light for you. He can make light in the darkness, because that's what it means for all things to be possible. And now check this out. Look what the angel does. He's sleeping there, and the angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. This boy could sleep. He's about to be executed and go on trial. And in the middle of this, he's asleep. Do you know the prison cells were not comfortable? This wasn't the place we leave the light on for you. They didn't leave the light on for him. He was sleeping on a cold, hard floor, chained up. Can't move this way or this way. And he gets to sleep. How does he get to sleep? We would have been fasting and praying all through the night. The deepest intercession you've ever made in your life. If you didn't speak in tongues, you would then. Because it's the end, right? It's the end. But he's sound asleep. Angel's got to wake him. When the angel shows up, doesn't wake him. The lights go on, doesn't wake him. Sound asleep. And then, of course, chains fall from his wrists. But you know, the thing is with Peter, is that he'd been in a similar situation. Because he'd been walking on the water with Jesus before he got put in prison. Remember the time he was in the boat? Here comes Jesus, storm out at sea. Here comes Jesus walking in the water. Peter says, Jesus, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, what's Jesus going to say? It's not me, stay in the boat. What's he going to say? He's going to have to say, it's me. And if he says, it's me, Peter, come on, it's me. It really is me. So Peter painted himself into the corner. He's going to get out and walk in the water because Jesus couldn't get out of it. It wasn't Jesus' plan for Peter to walk in the water. Jesus come walk into the boat. He's walking. In fact, I think Jesus was going to walk right past the boat. You guys are okay, cool, let's keep going. And they immediately were afraid, and they saw Jesus. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. Yeah, of course, it's me, come. All right, he gets up and starts walking in the water. So let's not shoot the boy. He was walking in the water. And have you ever done it? No. Okay? So he's been out the boat. He's walking in the water. And then he gets afraid. He sees the storm. He sees the wind. He sees the waves. I can't imagine why he didn't see it before he got out the boat. Seriously, you think a boat was like a little swimming pool, just like flat, and suddenly there's waves? He had to be aware of it. He had to be aware of these waves and everything else. But he gets out. But suddenly, in the middle of his miracle, the storm starts to shout at him. The natural circumstances start to make a noise that is greater than the voice of Jesus that said, come. And folks, I'm telling you now, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be going along nice and smooth, sailing along, loving Jesus, going to church, yeah, yeah, hallelujah, doing all those things, paying your tithe, and serving God and going on. The next thing, you're going to get 10-foot wave break on you. Then knock you unconscious, put you in hospital. Oh, did I say that out loud? Really, that happened to Pastor Brian last week. That's what it happened to him. I keep on telling him he's too old for that thing. He's going to leave it go now.
No.
No, he's not? No. His wife says he's not too old. Thank God he's fully recovered. Amen?
Yes, amen.
But the storms of life have a voice. Yeah. And circumstances have a voice. And when you are trusting God, They will be shouting so loud as to try and fill your head with noise. They will take your eyes off Jesus and off what Jesus has said and try and get your attention on the storm. Because when your attention gets moved to the storm, that's when you're looking at your problems and not the promise. And that's when you go down. And that is true. That is when you will go down. When Jesus grabs him when he goes down, Lord save me, picks him up, walks him back to the boat. He gets to walk twice on the water, twice. He gets to walk back to the boat. He gets in. And what does Jesus say to him? Oh, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. I wish the other disciples would walk on the water too, man. I would sit right here by the captain. Come on, come sit the front row. Peter, you water walking man. Welcome to the water walking man. This is Peter, my boy, water walking man. Come on, Jesus, lay it on me. Look what I did. Look what I did. He says, why did you doubt? He goes to rebuking him. I promise you, if any of you guys walk in the water and I get to rebuke you afterwards, you leave the church. You're going to go to a water walking church. You're going to go to a church that, hey, we walk in water. Come join us. You're not going to be happy that I rebuke you. And rebuke you for what? For lack of faith. For being fearful, not fearless. It was being fearful that sent him to the bottom. You understand what I'm saying? This is what sent him to the bottom, being fearful. So he had been there before. He knows what it feels like to be out in the water. You know, and, you know, we often criticize the people in the boat who didn't get out, didn't walk on the water. So only Peter walked on the water. Well, the good news is, thank God for the guys that were in the boat, because at least they left the shore. There were people still on the shore. They didn't even get in the boat. So are you in the boat or are you on the shore?
Boat.
Are you going to get out of the boat, walk on the water? Amen. Sometimes your circumstance will force you to do that. Yeah? Whether you like it or whether you don't, it's going to be time to walk on the water. All right. So he's been there before. He's done it. Well, I'll tell you one more or two more stories and we'll be done. The Armenian army, I think you all know this is one of my great stories. I love it. Surrounded Samaria in battle and it caused great famine in the land. And the whole city was dying. The story is found in 2 Kings chapter 7. And Elisha is the prophet there, and he speaks to the Lord about it. And the Lord says, give this message to them and say, by this time tomorrow, the markets of Samaria, 5 quarts of choice flour will only cost a silver dime, piece of silver. And 10 quarts of barley grain will only cost you a piece of silver. And the officer that was assisting the king, he comes to the man of God and he says, that couldn't happen. Even if God opened the windows of heaven. There's a bit of unbelief right there, isn't there? See, there's going to be somebody that's going to want to rain on your parade. And you believe in God and you standing believing God, somebody's going to come along and say, well, you know, days of healings are over. You know, I think you should really just trust the doctors. You know, you can't really, you know, you can't go down that road anymore and this and that and give you all the story about why you can't and shouldn't and stuff like that. And so Elisha says to him, well, good news and bad news. Which one do you want first? Good news or bad news? He says, okay, give me the good news. The good news is it's going to happen. Tomorrow it's going to be here. It's going to flood. Everybody's going to have it. It's going to be good. Here's the bad news. You don't get any of it. And of course, they stampled him to death because the 4 lepers went and said, we're going to die here anyway. We might as well go across to the enemy's camp and get some food. And when they got there, they had heard a noise and they all ran and killed each other. And so the lepers were just sitting there enjoying the food and said, hey, this is not good. We better go and tell the guys. We've got a pot of food here. Let's go tell them. And they went back and told them. And first of all, they thought it was a trap. But then they couldn't take it anymore, and they ran across the inn, and they got their food. So say this out loud with me, by this time tomorrow, I'll see it, and I'll enjoy it. Say it again, by this time tomorrow, I will see it, and I will enjoy it. Amen. Now, 2 things. How many need a miracle debt cancellation? Miracle debt cancellation. Anybody? Okay. Well, it's amazing that so few of you are in debt. I thought there was a lot more. But anyway, in 2 Kings chapter 4, a widow comes to Elisha and she says to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband's now dead." He was a trainee prophet, okay? And he was in the school of prophets, but he died and he didn't leave any insurance. He didn't leave a retirement fund and he left us in debt. So he really wasn't running his finances very well. And that's the condition he was in. Now he dies and now the creditors are coming to take what? His two children, her two sons. So he says to her, "What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand?" And she says, "Just a little bit of oil. That's it." And so the question to you that God is asking you is, what do you have in your hand? Because you see, God can take whatever you've got and he can solve your problem with it. He's not limited. He's not limited. He can take what you've got and solve the problem. So just got this little oil. He says, "Well, go out and get all the bottles you can. Get inside, pour out the oil." Okay. She gets all the bottles, goes inside with her kids, start pouring out the oil. And they kept pouring until the oil stopped. No, no. Kept pouring until what stopped? The jars. There were no more empty jars. And you see, that's what happens. It's our capacity to receive from the Holy Spirit that fills up. The capacity of the Holy Spirit will continue until we say enough. Don't put the lid on the Holy Spirit. Don't put the lid on him. God is not limited. We're the ones that are limited. And if we put a lid on it, then that's when he stops. That's when the flow stops. So stay hungry, stay thirsty, stay praising, stay searching, stay looking, keep on keeping on. Stay alive, seeking God, stay hungry. And the flow of the Spirit will continue to come your way. And then Elisha said, "Well, take the oil, sell it, pay your debt and live off the rest." God miraculously, supernaturally canceled her debt by putting her in the oil business. She didn't think that working was part of the deal. Folks, hear me now. Oftentimes, your miracle will include working. As surprising as that might seem to some Americans, it might just include selling something. Doing a job to create the income. You listening? If she didn't sell it, that would have been that. God provided, she didn't sell, done. You stay where you are. So you've got to follow through on what God tells you to do. Even though the miracle's in process, you have got a part to play in it. So listen carefully when God wants to supply and meet you and supernaturally do something for you. How was Jairus' daughter raised? You think he thought it was over? Think it was the end of the road? Absolutely. Absolutely. She's dead. She's graveyard dead. Don't bother the master anymore. Jesus says, "Do not fear." Fearless. Do not fear. Just continue to believe. He ignored the people that came with the bad news. Don't be moved by the bad news. Do not be moved by the bad news. And he believed. She was raised because he believed. He didn't let go. You will always have the choice. You haven't lost till you let go. I'm going to say that again. You haven't lost till you let go. If all things are possible, you have no right or reason to let go. You let go when you stop believing. That's when you let go. And that's when failure happens. If you keep on believing, you cannot fail. The worst thing that can happen to you is you can go and die and go to heaven. How bad could that be? Seriously, think. I mean, really, we all want to go to heaven. We just don't want to die to get there. But that's the worst that could happen. You could die. And you got to be with the Lord. And it's a win-win situation. Right? So you don't have to give up. And, of course, Jairus' daughter was raised. God has a way. Say that. God has a way. He has a supernatural way of bringing you out of your dilemma, even if you caused it. I'm going to ask you this question. The debt, those people that raised their hands said they were in debt. Did the devil do that to you? Excuse me? That was your neighbor that did that to you when you weren't watching. Somebody came in and stole your cards and spent your money, put you in debt while you weren't. And they wearing the clothes now too, aren't they? They driving the car. Who put you in debt? Who's got the courage to say me? Me, myself. I did it. I did it to me. See? So I said stupidity should be painful. We did it to myself. So I did something stupid. I spent the money. Who? Me. I spent the money. I got myself into debt. And now I go to God and I say, God, will you pay my debts for me? Certainly, child. I will supernaturally pay your debts. And then go out and spend more. And then when you get into debt again, just come back. And I will just keep doing this forever. Because that's what I do. I'm so gracious that you can just keep on getting yourself into debt and spend and do stupid stuff. And that's okay. I'll always be here. I have an endless, everlasting bank account for you. Ever. Whatever you need. Always. Just. How many of you think that's what God? So you see, miraculous debt cancellation is even if it was caused by you. Yeah. Even if it was caused by you. Now, I don't want to get you confessing it was caused by you, but you know it was. But God is willing to get you out of it if you will believe. Yeah. If you'll trust Him and believe Him, I guarantee you, He'll get you out of it. Everybody stand on your feet. I believe the Spirit of God is blowing in this ministry in a new way. Blowing in our hearts and in our lives. And I felt impressed to read to you the great story in Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, You alone? No. Then He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, man of God, prophesy. Say to these bones, these dead bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Yes. This is what we're talking about. The absolute end where there is no hope. There's just dry, dead bones in this valley. Nothing. How could it possibly live? How could your situation that is so desperately in ruins rise up from the dust, rise up from a dry, dead bone valley? How could it rise up? God said, prophesy to the problem. Prophesy to the dry bones. And so Ezekiel prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a rattling sound. And a great noise. And a great rattling sound. And the bones began to come together. Bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them where there were no tendons and there was no flesh and there was no muscles and the bones were lying apart. And God said, prophesy to it, Jackie. Prophesy to your house that's being remodeled. Prophesy to it and it'll come together. Life will come to it. And when they were all together, there was no breath in them. The Spirit of God had not entered yet. There was no breath. And then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the Holy Spirit, prophesy, son of man, speak out the word of God so that your future can change, so that which is dead can come alive, that which looks like it's lost forever can come back to life. Prophesy to it, speak it out. And He commanded to the four winds, and breath, and the breath came into those that were slain, that they may live. And the breath entered them, and they stood up on their feet.
Hallelujah.
A vast, mighty army. Are we the army of the Lord?
Amen.
Is this our time?
Yes.
Is this our time to be fearless?
Amen.
Is this our time to be bold in faith?
Yes.
Is this our time to go forward and conquer in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Is this our time to raise the dead?
Yes.
Is this our time to pray for the sick?
Yes.
Is this our time not to be ashamed?
Yes.
Our time to be bold, to be courageous, to say what God said, to prophesy to the situation. Heart, grow.
Amen.
Live. You will not die.
Come on.
Body, come in line in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Deafness, go.
Yes.
Blindness, go.
Yes.
Crooked spine, straighten out. Prophesy to it. Don't be afraid of dead bones. Don't be afraid of what people might say to you, because God has given you a word to prophesy, to speak into the future, to change your life.
Yes, Lord.
Who are we? Who are we? We are a brand new creation, a species that's never existed before. We are in Christ. God is our Father. The Word is our Mother. We have been born of incorruptible seed. And we belong to God. And we have been bought with the price of Jesus' sacrifice. We are hid in Christ, in God. Who am I? I am in God. Who is God? God is providing for me. I am who God said I am. I can do what God said I can do. And I have what God said I have. I am God's new address. He has taken up residence in me.
Amen.
God has placed His life in me, and it flows out like a river from my innermost being. I am the body of Christ on the earth, and I'm authorized to carry out the will of the Father and the will of Jesus. I am a carrier of the triune Godhead's presence. And wherever I go, I have the glory of God upon me and in me that was on Jesus, and it rests upon me permanently.
Yes.
And so do you. And I have been authorized by the head of the church, Jesus Christ, to continue doing what He did. He said, I want you to go and do what I did.
Amen.
And I choose to operate in the wisdom of God, which is to believe the Word. I believe the Word, and I choose to have my mind renewed so that the will of God, the perfect, good will of God, may operate in this world through me. I'm a portal. I become a portal. I become a doorway, because I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus by renewing my mind, that I might prove what is the perfect, good will of God. The perfect will of God operates through me because I choose to renew my mind. I choose not to stay immature. I choose to do the things that I read in the Word of God. I choose to worship. I choose to speak in tongues. I choose to lay hands on the sick. I choose to come to church. I choose to tithe. I choose to follow the Word of God. Why? Because I'm renewing my mind so the will of God can flow through me into the world, so that His will can be accomplished, because I've been authorized to fulfill His purposes in the earth. I refuse to settle for anything else. I will not. My passion is to pursue God's purpose. And that's what I live for. So I've decided not to be ashamed.
Amen.
Not to be ashamed of Jesus. To stand strong. I have chosen to be a friend of God.
Amen.
And an enemy of the world, rather than a friend of the world and an enemy of God.
Yes.
Choose who you will serve.
Yes.
And then serve Him with all of your heart.
Amen.
And be fearless in the face of any problem or circumstances that you have to face.
Amen.
Be fearless. Be bold as a lion.
Amen.
Be courageous.
Yes.
Say what God's Word said.
Yes.
Even if your mind is screaming at you, well, what happens if it doesn't take place?
Thank you, Lord.
Shut up, mind. My spirit is now speaking. And my spirit is agreeing with the Word.
Yes.
You shut up, Mr. Reason. I'm not interested in you.
Yes.
Well, I just don't feel like it. Shut up, Mr. Feeling. I'm going with the Word of God.
Come on. Yes.
God said it. That settles it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's rejoice. Come on. Hallelujah! Glory! Fearless, 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 fearless. Fearless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is not on.
Sounds coming.
Is it? There it is.
So you spoke this morning about, you mentioned something that was unique to Jenny and I's life, was supernatural debt cancellation.
Ah.
I'm here to tell you today that where there seems to be no way, God will make a way.
Thank you, Lord.
Jenny and I were humbled by God.
Yes.
We were looking at a $40,000 IRS debt. We didn't know what to pay. We didn't know how to pay it. We got in negotiations with the government. It took forever to do it. We finally got this payment plan put together, getting ready to write this first check to start this, I don't know, 10 to 15 year journey with the IRS. Almost pushing 40 years old, I'm thinking to myself, I will not have a home until I'm 65. I don't know what to do. We went to a home group. This is the significance of what we do here. We sat down, a friend said, I don't know what's going on in life. I don't know what's happening, but I think we should all write down what we want God to do. Jenny and I began to write on that paper. We want our debt gone. We want another son. We want another child. We want to buy a home. Small amount of time went by. I was getting ready to write this check to the government for $650. That was my payment plan. I wrote them a check for $45,000 because supernaturally, God had taken a situation that was meant for destruction and he turned it into our benefit.
Amen.
I had enough money to buy a home to completely gut and remodel that home. And I still have money in the bank. I will give money to my King. I will be responsible over the things that are small, that seem insignificant. It's more than just Tim Noe standing on this platform and worshiping. It's Tim Noe, as Curtis said, if he's still here, the God that amazes me more than anything is the one that's with me Monday through Saturday.
And you have a little Timmy with it.
And I have a Matthew, too.
Oh, Matthew.
And a Timmy. Got our child, our second one, got our debt canceled. Got our home, made it what we wanted it to be. It has value. I say, Lord, you are the God of the impossible.
A God of the impossible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Well, church, have a good week. We'll see you in the life groups. They're having so much fun and they're having an amazing time. So they'll be discussing these things that we spoke about today. So go to the life groups and get encouraged and meet some friends. And we'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Have a good week.